You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
The Mandatory Samson Podcast, the first and only podcast to be this incredible right from the start. My name is Chris. Across from me is my good friend Andrew.
Hey.
And to my right is my, you know, this guy we know, Joey.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Joey.
Joe, you sick?
I am. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to get through today.
Okay. Thank you for sniffling right into the microphone. That's fine.
I apologize. My mic's getting all loose. Okay, there we go.
All right.
Everything's good.
Okay, that's great. Hey guys, listen, it's January 15th, 2015. This is unfortunately not episode 15 of the Mandatory Samson Podcast. That would have been cool as shit.
Would have been cool.
But it just didn't work out. This is episode 14. Listen, I don't want to start off on a negative note, but I got to say, Andy, I feel like you took a little bit of a beating over this scruffy thing over the last couple of...
Yeah, I just want to reiterate how happy Chris is about that. Never have I had a friend who is so happy to see his good friend take an absolute beating over comments and fucking Twitter. Look, all right, let me explain it. I was doing that. The thing I feel like that got lost on some people, and I don't deny that I was being an asshole, but that was kind of, it was a bit. We were doing a thing, and I wasn't doing it to be mean. I was just doing it to help move it along, and I thought it made it funny. And I also got a lot of comments of people who thought that that helped it, that that made it funny. So
I will say, in fairness, when I listened to it later that night, I actually texted you, and I was like,
yeah,
you doing that, I think, made it funny.
It worked.
But it could have killed momentum. It didn't. I thought it was funny.
It didn't. All right. And Chris came up to me. I was downstairs bartending, and Chris came up to me after the show and was like, hey, man, I don't think you should do that next time. I was like, do what? Like, because I didn't think anything of it. Like, I really didn't think it was a big deal. And Chris was like, yeah, just, you know, maybe, like, not trash me while we're... Oh, there's porn on my computer.
That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, so anyways, I wasn't trying to kill momentum. I thought it was funny. I was just adding a different perspective to it. So I apologize to all you angry fans who commented.
I will say, we got a lot of emails. I got Snapchats, Mansamp on Snapchat, about the scruffy thing. Some guy sent me one. He was in his car. He said he spit tea all over the car. He was really excited about it. We got tweets, comments on SoundCloud. It was really good. And I also want to say that we got into the Charlie Hebdo thing, and I got a lot of great emails and comments about that. In particular, Megan, I'm not going to say her last name, but she sent an email, a long, thoughtful email, which I responded to, and I really appreciate that. Another dude sent a comment on SoundCloud, which I really appreciated. And, of course, our super fan Jolie sent us some comments on SoundCloud, which is really, really cool. I want to say thank you, everybody, for the snaps. I really didn't get Snapchat at first. I do get it now. I really enjoy it. And, you know, so thank you. I really appreciate that. Listen, this is how this episode's going to go. We're going to do a bit of a recap on everything that's happened in the week since the Charlie Hebdo thing. Mm-hmm. There was the huge Unity March, which I want to get into. And then some other, like, reaction to it that I find interesting, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Also, we have I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but we have an amazing clip of Nancy Grace talking to 2 Chainz about pot, which I didn't watch it live, and I never watched Nancy Grace, and I truly couldn't believe that this is the way this person is on TV all the time. It's just stunning. It's hilarious. We're gonna go through that a little bit later as well. It's like the funniest SNL skit of all time, but it's real life.
It's actually happening.
So fucking funny. Also, this is I'm very excited about this episode. We have our good friend Brian Wilson in studio. He is going to join the show a little bit later on. Andy brought a great clip, right? What was that about?
I'm sure you guys have seen it probably. It's called the Rap Battle parody, and it's a parody of a rap battle, and it is the funniest fucking thing I've seen in a long time.
Me and Joey haven't seen it. I'm pretty sure Brian hasn't seen it. Brian, for those of you that don't know, is in a band called You Bred Raptors, which we played a couple of weeks ago. Great song off that, off his album. And he's also a very accomplished freestyle rapper. So he's going to do maybe a little freestyle.
Nice.
He's going to tell us some stories from his life. He's a very funny guy, and I'm excited to have him on the show.
He is. That's the thing about Brian, is he has some of the best and most unbelievable, not unbelievable because they're so far-fetched, but just unbelievable in the sense of awkwardness and perhaps shame that might come with some of them. But yes, they're amazing, and they're always hilarious. So.
Yeah, so look forward to that. We have a sponsor, guys, off the bat. Let's get right to that sponsor video right now.
What could be better than Golden Corral's piping hot and delicious yeast rolls? How about 6 free yeast rolls to take home?
I like the sound of that.
That's right. Hurry in for our legendary dinner buffet for one low price and take home 6 free yeast rolls. They're world-famous, baked fresh daily, and absolutely free.
Free. That works for me.
This deal won't last forever, so bring in the family and take home 6 free yeast rolls. Yup, that's how we roll. Golden Corral, help yourself to happiness.
Whoa. Nice. Let me ask you something. When you guys hear the word yeast, what do you think of immediately?
Infections.
You think of infections. You think of vagina. You think of a problem down there.
I think of a gross vagina.
I don't understand why they would choose to say yeast 8 times in that commercial. It just makes absolutely no sense.
I think
it's
implied that there's yeast in a roll.
Right. You don't have to emphasize the word yeast. No. That's absolutely insane. Joey?
But these rolls have extra yeast in it.
Yeah, but that's horrible.
But
that's
saying extra yeast to anybody sounds awful.
Right, you immediately think of Vagisil. They should have done a co-commercial with Vagisil.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Also, have you guys ever been to a Golden Corral?
No, I've not.
Never.
I always see these goddamn ads, and I'm like, I'll go to a Golden Corral. I'll try it.
They have them in, they have them in Missouri.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's what I figured. Yeah. They might have them in the Midwest. Yeah. I want to go to one, and can I actually...
You don't.
I know I don't, but can I also just tell you this like weird kind of like fantasy world that I have in my head sometimes?
Sure.
I fantasize about being a truck driver. What? Go ahead.
I do too.
Do you really?
I do too. All the fucking time.
That's insane.
Yeah,
really?
That is.
I thought I was alone in this.
No. I fantasize it all the time.
What is it about that just intrigues you?
It's about being on the road, having that huge truck with the big
with the bed in the back.
And just like, and especially when it's cold out, I always see them on the highway on the train, and you're just like, they're in that warm truck, they're smoking cigarettes, they're drinking coffee, like, and you're just in it, and you're just on the road, and
you fucking nailed it. I'm so excited right now. That's amazing. Yeah, I think about, I'm at a truck stop diner having some coffee at 5 in the morning. It's the fucking real deal. And then this ties into Golden Corral because it's like, you know what? Maybe I have Thanksgiving dinner at Golden Corral.
Right.
Because I'm a truck driver. What are you going to do?
Nice. I can't get home. Sorry.
God, that is incredible. Wow. We're fine. This is great. Amazing. So anyway, Golden Corral, thanks for the sponsorship. We appreciate it. Maybe change it to dinner rolls instead of yeast rolls. I don't know.
That would be nice.
If anybody can let me and Andy intern as truck drivers, maybe at some point we'll do that.
Yeah. One last thing, quick thing I want to throw out.
Go ahead.
Truck driving in Alaska. How do you feel about it?
Ooh, like ice road truckers?
Yeah. Maybe not ice road trucking, but I just, along with trucking, I've told you about my fascination with Alaska and just being kind of remote. I'm just saying, like, imagine being a truck driver up there. You're like hauling the big loads up to the mines and stuff. Could be an extra thing that might be pretty cool.
It could be an interesting thing. I'm more into the idea of just
going across America.
Yeah, just
definitely.
Going across America. Absolutely. Okay,
but a stint in Alaska could be cool.
That'd be great. Joey, wait, what? Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Is my laptop not charging? What is happening here? Did something get disconnected? Can you maybe fix this somehow?
Okay.
Real quick, because I don't want the computer to die, because that's where all my fucking notes are. All right, guys, listen, we're going to get into this Charlie Hebdo like kind of recap thing. I want to say, according to The Intercept, which is a great website started by Glenn Greenwald, who was involved in the Snowden thing. He was the journalist involved in that. Jeremy Scahill, who's another terrific like war terrorism journalist. Their website says that Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is behind the Paris attack. They're claiming that they have a source that says that. So that's something interesting to keep your eye on. I also have some other shit about Al-Qaeda in Yemen and Saudi Arabia and stuff we'll get into. On the way here, I found this great clip of Jeremy Scahill on CNN that I want to play really quickly just to give you an idea that this guy is not fucking around and why you should probably pay attention to him. He's being interviewed on CNN, and this is what he had to say about terrorism, journalism, and the media.
I wanted to highlight because it's something I found interesting. The corporate media coverage is revving up the fear engine again, is one of the things you said, and that essentially states will always look for a reason to overreact. and restrict civil liberties, and then it's hard to dial back. What do you, clearly you think this is being overcovered?
Well, no, it's not that it's being overcovered. It's that on the one hand, you know, I think there is a very serious issue here and a horrid massacre that all of us should condemn. And clearly this is a problem, but I think that we are inflating these attacks to a level that is much beyond the actual threat that they pose to our societies. And hypocrisy was on full display on Sunday with all these world leaders. Many of them are enemies of the press themselves. I also think that CNN and MSNBC and Fox are engaging in the terrorism expert industrial complex, where you have people on as paid analysts that are largely frauds who have made a lot of money off of portraying themselves as terror experts and have no actual on-the-ground experience. You have on-the-ground experience, Hala. I listen when you speak because I think you're credible. Some of your paid analysts that you have on this network or other networks basically are just making money off of the claim that they're experts on terrorism and really don't have the scholarly background or on-the-ground experience to justify being on your network or any other network.
All right, I respect your opinion. It's like why have it, this is why I like having you on, Jeremy Scahill. You certainly
is
speak your
drunk?
Mind, and we appreciate
she
your
just got
analysis,
scared, I think.
Even though I don't always agree with you. Thanks very much, Jeremy Scahill,
likewise,
for your expertise there in New York. All righty.
So that's Jeremy Scahill. That's The Intercept. So if you guys want to get some like actual reporting about things that are going on in the Muslim world or whatever, anything involving terrorism, that's a place to go. They also have NSA stuff, and it's just it's really good. So the Unity March took place in Paris. That's what he was referencing. Mm-hmm. About 3.7 million people came out, which is phenomenal.
Amazing.
That's great. It's the largest rally in French history. And he was referencing that there was a lot of world leaders there. Supposedly supporting free speech, mm-hmm. when a lot of them have terrible records in their own countries.
Yeah.
You know what? Before we get into this next thing, I just want to read this guy, Manuel Valls, who's the prime minister of France, had a great quote about the attacks. And I really like what he had to say, because I don't feel like this is something that's going to be said or would be said in America. I just like the way that this guy cut to the chase and made some great points. So I'm just going to read this quote real quick. This is Manuel Valls. He goes, "We're at war, but not at war against a religion, not against a civilization, but at war to defend our values, which are universal. It is a war against terrorism and radical Islam, against everything aimed at breaking solidarity, liberty, and fraternity. Our compatriots and citizens who are Muslim by confession and culture are also the victims of terrorism. This is perhaps the most important message, the refusal of this confusion. Jihadism tries to create that confusion. We are not a collection of communities. We are one nation, a republic with values, generosity, solidarity, fraternity, secularism," which, ding, that's not going to be said in America. "We must also be lucid. Anti-Semitism, racism, hatred of the other," which is something that we've talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. "These things are intolerable. Journalists were killed for drawing. Police were killed for protecting us. And Jews were killed because they were Jewish. This is what is intolerable. The indignation must be total and permanent."
Yeah.
I mean, that's a professional statement by an actual leader. Like, that's something that I actually really appreciate. Andy, you got any thoughts on that?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have anything further than that.
The thing that stood out to me was that he made a point about secularism, which I think is an important thing. Because especially even in America, we don't have like extremists to the extent that they're going to go blow things up, although some do go to like abortion clinics and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important point.
But
go ahead.
Oh, you just said we don't have extremists, but what about all the shootings that happen in America?
Those aren't.
It's not religious
based.
Extremism.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the distinction I'm trying to make. Yeah. Which is why I think the secularism thing is an important thing for him to bring up, and I think it's very cool that that's out in the public sphere. Some of the emails I got, and particularly the one from Megan that I mentioned earlier. Oh yeah, if you want to send us an email, it's mandatorysams@gmail.com. I really appreciate all the comments and whatnot. She included in her comments, mm-hmm. about what we were talking about, that there's this media hypocrisy, where 12 people get killed or 15 people get killed in France, it becomes an international tragedy and we're, mm-hmm. all paying attention to it. And she wasn't saying that that shouldn't be the case, but she was also saying that in places like Nigeria during the same time frame, 2,000 people were killed by Boko Haram.
But
go ahead.
Sorry, but that always seems to be a recurring theme whenever a tragedy like this happens and we focus on it for, you know, the media focuses on it for a week or whatever.
Right.
But and whenever that happens, there's always a group that's like, well, you know that, you know, 500 people were killed in Mexico in the cartel war. And like in this and that, and it's like we shouldn't be. It's like, yeah, but those are ongoing. Like we see that in the news every day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
This is one thing that is one big thing that happened. We know there's ongoing genocide and wars and horrible things happening. This is just one like big incident.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's out of the norm, which is kind of damning.
Which is sad
to the extent, right? Where we're like, well, yeah, of course, 2,000 Nigerians got killed.
Yeah, and of course, but they're finding 500. You know. Unmarked graves in the deserts of Mexico, because that's just what happens down there. It's horrible, but it's become a constant.
No doubt about it. And something I was reading actually, and like it's a famous quote, I'm sure, where it's like one person dies, it's a tragedy. A million people die, it's a statistic. Mm-hmm. And like that's kind of what we're dealing with.
That's what it is.
So, but I just wanted to mention that because I think it's a fair point. Did you have something to say about that, Joe?
The one thing that I really hate is the way everyone always tries to put a number on something. I like the statistic thing.
What?
Because it's more than just 12 people. You know, it's 12 human beings who had families, who are just living everyday lives, or the 2,000 Nigerians in that incident. I just feel that sometimes we lose the value when we just put a number on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, of course. That is the point of that thing where it's like Joey got killed. Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
10,000 blah blah blahs got killed. Well, you know, it is what it is, right?
And you think about it, like that company, it's a journalist company. There's real lives. We're a media company.
Right.
Somebody could come in here and kill a bunch and kill all of us and then
my God, you know how famous we'd be?
Yeah.
Well, not cool.
Martyrs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But yeah, it hits a lot closer to home when you think about, like, that could have been all of us here. Somebody could kick that door open, kill all of us.
Right. It'd
be a lot different.
Well, and one of the, like, the point I made back in the email, like, as I was reading it, is that, first of all, the media loves covering when something happens to the media. You know, it's like that becomes a thing where they can, you know, get on their high horse.
One of their own, man.
Yeah, exactly. And my other point was, and I'm not saying that this is right, but I think part of the reason why something like that happened in Nigeria with Boko Haram doesn't get the coverage that this does is because this is, quote, the civilized world. You know what I mean? It's like, this shit's not supposed to happen here. Of course, that shit's supposed to happen in Africa. You know, it's like that type of mentality, which, it's wrong, but I don't know. I mean, a part of me goes, like, I get why this is the way that it works. You know?
Sure.
I wanted to bring this up because I think the end result of this whole thing is that we've been talking a lot about free speech. Mm-hmm. A couple of things happened in the days after the shooting that I think are interesting to bring up. In Saudi Arabia, which it's funny, the Americans are allies with Saudi Arabia. We get oil from them. And, you know, there's been a historic relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, which is where the Al-Qaeda, this group, the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, they're in Yemen and Saudi Arabia. Okay. In Saudi Arabia, there's this journalist named Raif Badawi. He's a blogger, and he just went through the first part of his punishment. He got arrested for the things that he was saying, and I have a couple of his quotes because they're great and they kind of echo what Manuel Walls was talking about. He is sentenced to 10 years in jail and 1,000 lashes in public, basically. They whip this guy. He gets 50 a week, and he already went through the first 50. He's not gonna make
what
it.
What are they using to whoop him?
A whip, I guess, a flogger or
whip
something.
Or a stick.
Because I don't think
sometimes they do that bamboo stick thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but
horrible.
Yeah, absolutely horrible.
And the fact that, and we are making the distinction between a blogger and a journalist, just so that's noted.
Yes, I will make the distinction, but I don't want to demean what this guy's writing because I think it's important. But of course, there's a difference, right? Let me just read some of these quotes because this is what we're talking about. When we say that, because last week something that we got into is that the change has to come from the Muslim world. We want leaders from the Muslim community, from Islam.
Speaking out,
but not here. Like, yeah, it's good that they do that. They condemn it. That's fine.
Yeah. And no, go ahead.
But the important thing is that people that are actually in jeopardy, potentially, like this guy's going to be punished now for saying what he said.
Right.
That's what needs to be done. And people need to stand up for that person within his own community. You
sure.
know?
And just I wasn't meaning to demean him as a blogger versus a well-known journalist. But I'm just saying, making that distinction, it's not like he's like a news correspondent or something. This is a guy in that country just writing his blog. And maybe it's somewhat famous, but... You know, you think about that. Just him writing his personal opinion in a blog has got him 10 years in jail and getting beat horrifically for how many?
1,000 lashes.
1,000 lashes.
And what at a time? 50?
50 at a time. So it's 20 installments of this. Sessions, he's not going to make it through. You know, like
you think he'll die?
Yeah, I think he'll end up dying. Sure, because you're not going to recover from 50 lashes every week. Like,
oh, it's per
50
week?
This week, 50 next
oh,
week.
Oh my god,
they
yeah,
hit 1,000.
No,
he's not going
to
make it.
There's no time to heal.
And, and that's not a problem. They don't care about the fact that if he dies.
No, I think that's probably expected? Like in lieu of in lieu of a death sentence, they're just like because if he does
we'll
survive,
just beat you to death.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, they beheaded a woman in the street today, actually, in Saudi
True,
Arabia,
yeah.
which is adorable. But let me read some of these quotes. This is Raif Badawi, and I'm sure there's like petitions online. I haven't really looked, but possibly go sign it. Let me read some of his quotes, because this guy's really the epitome of bravery. He goes, as soon as a thinker starts to reveal his ideas, you will find hundreds of fatwas that accused him of being an infidel just because he had the courage to discuss some sacred topics. I'm really worried that Arab thinkers will migrate in search of fresh air and escape the sword of the religious authorities. Now, that's bold, accurate, and exactly what we were talking about last week. That's that's spot on. He continued, these are just quotes. He goes, secularism respects everyone and does not offend anyone. Secularism is the practical solution to lift countries, including ours, out of the third world and into the first world. Amazing, because that echoes exactly what's being said in France.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. This is my favorite thing that he said. He goes, I'm not in support of the Israeli occupation of any Arab country, but at the same time, I do not want to replace Israel by a religious state, whose main concern would be spreading the culture of death and ignorance amongst his people when we need modernization and hope. States based on religious ideology have nothing except the fear of God and an inability to face up to life. Look at what happened after the European people succeeded in removing the clergy from public life and restricting them to their churches. They built up human beings and promoted enlightenment, creativity, and rebellion. States which are based on religion can find their people in the circle of faith and fear.
Spot on.
Spot on. It's inspiring, and he's going to probably die for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. You know, I don't want people to die, obviously, but we need people who are young in the Muslim world to stand up to the religious bullshit that's going on there, because that's the only way that things are going to be modernized and normalized throughout that region. You know. So I found that really, really interesting. The other, just to end that point, the Egyptian president Abdel Fattah al-Sisi calls for a revolution in Islam.
Okay.
So that's going along with what we're saying. And Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah says that extremists, he's the Hezbollah guy. He like leads Hezbollah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, which is a, quote, terrorist organization, right? He says that extremists hurt Islam and Muhammad more than cartoons. So now when you have the head of Hezbollah coming out and saying that, that's powerful. That's important. Yes. That's exactly what we were talking about last week. And I'm happy to see that, because we got some pushback on the idea of like, well, they should condemn these attacks. Muslims should condemn. Yeah, they should. Because the only way that you're going to actually stem the tide of this type of extremism is to, A, give a separate voice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go down that route. And B, these are people that are actually in the faith. And they go, no, this is not the way that we should be doing this. So I think that's extremely important. Joe's just staring at me. Yeah, okay. So, all right. So that's a little wrap-up of that. I did want to bring this up because I find this ironic, and I think we could probably have a good conversation about it. There's this comic in France, and pardon if I don't say his name correctly. Dwedon Mbala. Okay. He's a comic in France.
Mm-hmm.
A little background on him. He's an asshole. Okay, I believe from what I've read about him, he's an asshole. He's got this like he doesn't act, but it's like extremely provocative, and he does this like faux Nazi salute thing that he's kind of like patented, that's like his trademark move or whatever. And he's been convicted for inciting anti-Semitism a number of times in France. Mm-hmm. And he might be an anti-Semite. I'm not defending this guy for this reason. But he was arrested over this last week to be tried on suspicion of glorifying terrorism. He wrote that he felt Charlie Kalabali on Facebook. Kalabali was the guy that killed the people in the deli. Jewish did the kosher deli. He can face 7 years in jail for glorifying terrorism, but that was the post that he put. What is interesting to me is that we're talking about freedom of speech. What separates what this guy's saying, and yeah, he might be an asshole, he might be anti-Semitic, but in a week when we're trying to glorify freedom of speech and the exchange of ideas,
you're going to punish him.
Yeah, you're going to put a comic, an artist, right? Because he's not actually, that's part of his shtick, possibly. Mm-hmm. You're going to put him in jail for saying something, right? So doesn't that kind of cut the opposite way of what we've been talking about over the last week, and we've been trying to say that France is great at?
Yeah, I feel it comes down to, it depends, I guess, whose set of laws you want to follow, I guess. Because it is the same thing. It's supposed to be freedom of speech. You're supposed to be able to say this. But if it's said in the wrong context, now he's glorifying Nazism or whatever it may be, and now he has to go to jail for 7 years.
Right. Well, and that's sort of my question. Like, do you think there should be, because I kind of believe in absolute free speech where, you know, unless it's a threat, I think you should probably be able to say whatever you want. If people don't want to listen to you, they won't. If people do want to listen to you, they can. Where is the line? Do you think that there is a line between being able to have free speech, but there's a point where you go, well, he's kind of bringing up like the Nazis, and that could be a problem?
No. My idea of free speech is what you said, is that unless it's a threat, I don't believe you should be censored, and I don't believe there should be a penalty for speaking about what you think on certain topics. I know it can be dangerous, and I know in certain situations they need to put a cover on it. Like, I don't know, if you think about like Jim Morrison like inciting a riot like at a concert, right? I can see that being a big deal. Him saying shit like they have to take people off stage because there could be potential lives lost, there could be a lot of damage, there could be a big problem. But as far as just somebody writing their opinion online or in a newspaper or just saying it on a radio show, I really can't get behind that could be dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like when
people will just not agree with you. If you're saying crazy things, people will just be like, oh, that guy's an asshole.
Right. Right. I mean, I think the problem, and I think the fear is when they put a guy like this in jail, the fear is that his words are going to result in action.
Sure. But that's what it is. There should only be a question or penalties put on somebody if it's going to result in action and violent action.
Right, because we have laws against that. We have laws against killing somebody or attacking anything. You know, like, that's an actual crime. Fine. Now you've shifted into crime. But to have what is essentially a thought crime, I think, is a dangerous precedent to set, especially in the face of what we just saw.
Well, and especially in this,
and I'm not defending
in this,
I want to make that
changing,
clear. My girlfriend's Jewish. I love her.
Sure,
she's nice.
Yeah, and she is very nice. I can vouch for that.
What the fuck does that mean? No, I'm just kidding.
So,
let Andy finish his point. God,
I just forgot it.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. No. Okay. Now it's back. In this ever-changing world of fear of censorship from governments becoming too powerful and things like that, I think there's definitely something to be said for, well, if we, you know, outlaw one thing or make, you know, throw the book at one thing, that could be a very slippery slope into censoring everything.
Absolutely.
Not to mention, I was always under the impression, especially the fact that he is a comedian, so people are paying money to see him, and he has a microphone. It's supposed to be...
I like how you put the...
What is it?
He's supposed to have the microphone, which
a
means...
A microphone.
Yeah, no, it's...
I love he actually he's... shook his hand like this.
No, it's microphone!
A microphone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but
I'm
seriously,
Italian,
it's
okay.
It's supposed to be that people are there to listen. He, you know, he's an artist performing his craft, his gig, whatever it may be.
Right.
isn't any of that taken into consideration? Like, should there be a line saying maybe because he's a comedian, we give him extra...
Well, artistic license.
License, or if it were a politician up on stage, then doing all this.
But I think that's when we go back into, like, the reference I made to, like, Jim Morrison in New Haven inciting a riot. I think when somebody... I think then there could be something said for it when there's somebody in front of a group of people where... what they're saying could result in direct action from that group of people in that room feeling it so much and being like, okay, let's like tear, you know, let's go out and like fuck something up, or let's go out and let's destroy this place. Yeah.
Right.
Like if there's a call to action there, I think you can say, okay, we got to get this guy off stage.
Right. That's the difference. Call to action. Exactly. Yeah. Right. If he's just up there
was
saying,
he calling to action?
Well, here's what I was going to say. They have shut down a number of his shows where they've refused to let him perform and things like that. Okay. This is a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a gray area. Yeah. If you're of the mind that things should not, you know, certain things can't be said, that's not performance. That's him on Facebook. But you could also argue that, like, well, it's a public statement, so
it's
a public forum, part of his character. You know what I mean? Like, so it's one of those.
Well, that's the question. Has there been the conversation of whether this is like satirical, though?
I didn't get that far into it. Well,
is it?
You have to assume that as a performer, there's obviously elements of truth to every performer.
Of course.
Okay.
But yes, we're around a lot of comics. I think they would freely admit that, like, it's a heightened state when they're on stage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're exaggerating things that happen in their life. They might even be making things up that happen for the joke of it.
And that's a conversation we have a lot, is about how comedians feel about other comedians being truthful or not truthful. And while there is the understanding that everything's heightened, some comedians don't agree. Aaron, for example.
Yeah.
Aaron is a very truthful comic. He doesn't like to stray. He'll exaggerate, but he won't outright make up a situation just for a joke.
Right. And that's his style. Okay.
But there are other people who do that. And it's not that one's right and one's wrong. It's just your style of doing it.
Well, like the great example that gets brought up a lot, I think probably on the Joe Rogan podcast, I've seen him talk
about
it a bunch.
Joe Rogan's so great.
Love Joe Rogan. He's the man. He talks about Tracy Morgan being on stage. He got in trouble for comments that he made where he said he'd beat his son to death or something if he was gay. It's not true. He's not going to do that.
He didn't,
That's not going to happen.
No.
People got mad at him. Where's the line? You know, like, where's the line? And nobody's saying he can't say that. It's a little bit of a different example. But, it's like that is not realistic that he's going to say on stage, I'm going to kill my kid and then go beat him if he's gay. It's not realistic. I wanted to read this quote. The Interior Minister, Bernard Casanueva, said that he thinks he's in France,
Casanueva
said he thinks European officials should work more closely with internet companies to eliminate hate speech and content glorifying terrorism. And this, I also had an article, we don't have to get into it, from The Intercept, where they're saying that increasingly they're criminalizing online speech, which this is the slippery slope that we're talking about.
Yep.
Let me just say 54 cases have been opened since the attacks in France. 37 condone terrorism, okay?
What?
12 of them were threats. Threats are a problem. Condoning it is your opinion. If you think that they did the right thing, you should be allowed to say that. You're wrong, but you should be allowed to say that. This is my question. This is kind of how we'll wrap up this part. Isn't at a certain point then, if you're going to criminalize speech, which is what they're doing, isn't Charlie Hebdo putting Muhammad on the cover of their magazine, putting all these like offensive things to religions, isn't that hate speech at a certain point?
Are we justifying the attacks? Is that what we're doing now?
No, not at all. I'm just
asking.
It's
like back to the hill. Well, they were doing their job. They were just following orders. So
right. Well, yeah. but here's because again, like we said, actions are the problem. Actions are crimes.
Yeah. No.
I know. But in this context, though, where they're going to put this guy in jail potentially for saying some shit, isn't the magazine also doing something that is offensive to another group? But why is that okay?
So I feel,
and I think it is okay. I'm not saying that it's not.
Yeah, okay, but then isn't that? I'm sorry, Joey. That's just what we're talking about, though. Action versus thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we can all think it's terrible that they're like, you can as a Muslim think it's awful that they're putting this picture of Muhammad on the cover, and that's terrible. But you have to have, and again, this goes back to another conversation we had. You have to have some kind of disconnect, some type of like sociopathic thing, thought process where you think it's okay to go into one of these buildings and start killing people.
I'm glad you brought that up because in that reminded me of something in the email that I got. I was answering. That point was brought up where it's like there's sociopaths in every group. True, there are. Yes. However, something that I find interesting is that religions, and maybe I brought this up last week, but I want to reiterate it. They encourage irrationality. Believe in something that you can't see, right? You're believing in something you can't see. You have to have faith in it. And essentially, the more you believe in that thing, the more faithful you are. So it's a good thing in religion to just believe in something that is unprovable.
Isn't faith such an interesting concept?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's the most interesting concept probably, when we talk about this stuff. Yeah, because
belief.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just, that thing's there. Sure.
Believe it.
Right.
It's there.
Right. Santa there Claus. We train kids right from the beginning. The Easter Bunny, whatever.
It's so wild when you actually say it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well,
just trust us. It's there.
But that is a means of control, obviously, in a lot of these countries. But my point is, if we're going to allow that type of behavior around the world and almost encourage it, we go, he has a great faith and blah, blah, blah. Then why are these guys crazy for running into a building and doing something based on their faith? Are they sociopaths or is it just religion? I don't know. Because to me, there's a distinction there between Jeffrey Dahmer and these guys.
Right. Or are they so clear?
Right.
That
exactly.
This is what needs to be done.
That's exactly
and
my point.
We all just don't get it. And I think that's their argument.
Right.
I believe it to be.
Absolutely. And are they wrong? I don't know. That's the thing.
Maybe we are meant to be in this wildly violent world.
Maybe.
It sure is.
Well, because there will be peace if we just stop fucking with Muhammad. Because Muhammad's God. He's right. You know, that's the like weird line of it. And this, again, is why we can't criminalize speech. You have to allow these conversations to take place.
Could you imagine a world with no religion? And I know that's a very John Lennon thing to say, but
I don't know. I don't think
it's possible to fathom it, but there would be. I mean, and I'm sure we'd find something else to hate each other over.
That's what I was gonna say, right? Yeah,
but
right. Well, like,
but like we could find skin color. It would probably just be more defined.
Sure.
On skin color.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think people say a big critique of Western society, the United States, is that we worship money. You know, we worship stuff, things, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, we'd find a way, like, it would go from religious violence to class violence. You know, like, we'd find a way, but...
Yeah, and it would probably go more to skin color, which, it's funny, I personally, and I think it's true... That while people make a big deal about racism, religionism, or whatever you would call it.
Religiosity
is way more extreme, obviously, because we have actual wars over it. We've had wars over racism. You could say the Civil War was over racism in some way.
The Civil War was over, I mean, if we're going to get really into it, like, the Civil War was over the means of production.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't even look at slaves.
But like, I'm just saying, like, if you want to give it really broad, we could argue that there was part racism in the Civil War argument. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, it's funny that racism is made a big deal when... the difference in religion seems to be the biggest thing in the entire world.
Sure.
As far
sure.
as wars and violence and differing opinions go.
Well, because there's less religions than there are
exactly.
races of people and
exactly.
like, different countries and people speak. You know, I'm from New Jersey. People in North Jersey talk differently than people in South Jersey. It's like that's the, you know, there's so many different variations of people.
Yeah, and if, you know, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, the interesting thing about it, it's like... all of it, the religion, the fact that you might hate black people, whatever, because you're white, it's all based on where you were born, essentially.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you were born in Iraq, you're Muslim, or
right.
whatever it is. I was born in New Jersey, I'm, you know, brought up Catholic. Like, it's just luck where you end up, you know what I mean? So it's such a weird thing.
maybe not luck, not saying that one
no,
person's luckier
than the other. That's not what I mean. Well,
but it's so funny, and if you think back to like...
I think I'm pretty lucky to be a white dude in America.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good card to be dealt, right?
We're very lucky.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's so funny because you bring up like the different accents in Jersey, and in 1776, you might have been, you know, in a state war against the guys from North Jersey.
Of course.
Yeah. Like over like...
We'd win that shit.
Yeah. Please, South Jersey versus North. Come on,
yeah.
There's no contest. But I mean, all New Jersey's horrible.
You son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, I'm just on just coming from the best side of the tri-state. I can't help.
Right. Like Joey's about to talk. Me and Joey talk completely different. We grew up 10 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
Joey, tell us.
The only thing that I want to focus on, though, is I feel that religion should be bringing people together, not dividing us apart to the point where we're killing each other over
That's the dream, but it's a false hope, because the definition of religion is that unless you believe this thing, you're wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is immediately pitting people against each other. That's the fucking issue with it, which is why these guys keep bringing up secularism, belief in the state, a constitution, freedom of speech, ideal universal rights that we can all share that are not dividing lines. You know what I mean? That's the issue with religion. Yeah, again, religion can be a good thing for people. If it's a personal faith, you're drawing strength from it, great. Stop trying to impose your religious ideology, your religious rules, your views
on someone else,
on everybody else, because that's what freedom of religion is. The freedom to not have one is also tied up in that. This was a great discussion. I'm excited. I was excited to have this talk. I really enjoyed it. Listen, guys, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Right. You guys have said your piece on this. I think that was good, right? We have this Nancy Grace, Two Chainz, arguing about pot. It might be my favorite thing that I've ever watched on the internet.
Oh, okay, so... Do you want to play a 2 Chainz song to end it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I was just sitting here thinking about the song we're going to play. Let's play, we're going to play a 2 Chainz song.
Okay, so look forward to the episode wrapping up with the 2 Chainz
song. Yeah, I like him a lot. I'm a big fan of his. So.
I don't really like his music. I find him annoying, but I don't care because I fell in love with him on this clip.
He's amazing, and you know he's like 40, right?
Yeah.
Or over
40. Oh, he's that old?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't become famous. Mind you, played basketball for University of Alabama.
Right.
He wasn't famous until his first hit song came when he was like 39.
Oh, so he was in the game a while.
A long time.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a huge dude. I actually saw him once in where was I when I saw him? Maybe it was here in New York, actually. But he's like 6'5" or like 6'6".
Oh, wow.
He's a giant dude, and he's very like goofy looking. And
he's my...
But had like huge gold rope chains on, and like he was amazing looking.
Two
like,
of them, right?
He had, no, like eight.
Eight chains!
he's awesome.
All right, well, we're going to get into this. You know what? We were going to wait a little while longer. Brian Wilson's been sitting here.
Yeah, let's bring him on.
He's a fucking hilarious dude.
Flip that mic on.
This is Brian Wilson from the band You Bred Raptors, which where can we find that album if we wanted to buy it?
You can find the album at youbredraptors.com. It's like U-Y-O-U, bred, like, yo, I bred children. And then raptors, like the fucking dinosaur, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why I have to talk like this. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, Brian Wilson, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. We really appreciate
thank you guys for having me on. I'm looking forward to getting some Snapchats.
That's right. I was saying how great Snapchat is. I love it. We were talking before the show. You set up a Snapchat minutes before we came
I
on
literally... Here. Chris was telling me that girls would Snapchat him their tits.
Yeah,
occasionally, but Andy gets more than I do.
Okay, Andy, you guys are good looking. I'm okay. You can look me up on the internet. It's embarrassing. and I would like some titty pictures. That'd be great for me, just my self-esteem.
Okay, right. So girls who send me tit pics, send them to Brian Wilson.
All right, so it's going to be Brian with a Y, W, cello.
Unbelievable. Why would you do cello. Spell cello for everybody so they know.
C-E-L-L-O. Let's get some it's titties. All right, keep
Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, W, cello, C-E-L-L-O.
Are there any, like, underscores?
Nah,
or
no underscores. I keep it key. I keep it gangster. I'm so sorry.
Okay, all right. All right, so send Brian titties. Yeah, he'll love
send
it.
Brian tippics. Come on.
Or shits, which I get occasionally from the TFM crowd.
Yeah, stop really? With the shits.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah, you don't have to stop, but I, you know, it's I don't like it.
But right. tippics, send them to Brian.
All right, so we're going to get into this this
and Joey,
Grace
by
interview.
The way.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Joey desperately needs it. we're going to get into this Nancy Grace thing. Brian, if you have something to say, we can pause the clip, whatever. But
all right,
we're going to let it roll. Okay. So, by the way, I don't know what the hell she was talking about. I think some kid, whatever. We'll get into it. You'll get
some
the context.
Some kid overdosed on marijuana.
Yeah.
What?
She ate 5 marijuana cookies and died.
Right, but is that the fault
I didn't
of
know that was
pot?
Possible. Right.
It's not.
Oh, is that what she was saying? Okay, let's just get into
no,
it.
That's not what she was saying.
This is going
to
be.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, yeah, that's not possible. No,
all right, here we go.
A superstar in his own right, known as 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
They're both from Atlanta, too. She should have been nice. I'm assuming that's
she's,
where she's from.
She's. I don't know where the fuck she's
but
from.
But I think she works out of Fox in Atlanta, I think.
Okay. She, I've never watched Nancy Grace. I swear to God,
no,
I've never watched this is the longest
no,
I've ever watched
no,
her.
No, no, no,
she
no.
talks insane. She goes, mm-hmm. 2 Chainz.
Sleep
2 Chainz.
My sister feels good. Love it.
That
dong.
John Mulaney joke where he's like, my mom was just like Nancy Grace. She would just make wild accusations and wait for something to stick.
This is
that's what it is.
This is exactly what this is. Hashtag pot to blame.
Also, Tahit Epps. Also, Titty Boy with us from high school stomping grounds.
This is the best.
College Park, Georgia. Now, one of the most famous rap stars in the world. You know, 2 Chainz, first of all, thank you for being with us. You're a star. So many people, so many teens, so many young adults look up to you. Can I ask you, when you hear about cases like this, why do you still support the legalization of marijuana? Because, you know, I know your persona is different from your rap persona.
That's specifically what we were talking about in the last little bit.
Yeah.
Right? 2 Chainz is one way off stage, another way on stage. Very insightful point, Nancy Grace. You crazy bitch.
Which isn't true at all.
No, I imagine this guy's very similar to what he's...
He's... Yeah.
Okay, here we go. And so is Nancy Grace.
I know, for instance, you graduated with a 4.0.
That and that wouldn't be possible with marijuana.
Wait,
that's
she
2 Chainz Happy Birthday Jam Records. Why do all the guys have on regular clothes and the women have on skin tight leopard suits? You know, I don't know the answer to that. But why do you advocate legalization of pot when you hear stories like what I'm talking about?
Well, from the stories that I just heard you talk about, they were they had alcohol included, which we all know, you know, cause you to black out, forget things, and have memory loss. They also dealt with
she looks
irresponsible
like
people.
She, it's yeah. so weird. You guys should pull up this clip because it's fun. It's ridiculous to watch.
I'll put it on my Instagram.
And he's gonna Instagram. Nancy Grace is out of her mind. First of all, before we even get any further with this, I don't understand why she's taking this like pot bad. Like it's the tide is turned. It's over. Nancy
yeah,
Grace. Like,
it is over. And just so you know, this picture that I'm posting, it isn't just like a screen grab of like when you get somebody like about to blink and they look like crazy. This is her face throughout the whole video.
Yeah.
Like that's her face.
Yes. All right, here we go, Nancy Grace. Continue, you nut.
I don't think that you could put an umbrella on the whole community off these few incidents that you just named.
Well, what community is that?
The smokers, the stoners community. I just feel like you can't use these particular stories to define everybody
daddy,
that has recreational use.
I'm not defining everybody.
Mommy and daddy, that's a big word that she uses a lot to describe the plight of the children in her cases. It's mommy and daddy were so high, and imagine these kids that with mommy, that's a
she's gonna pull
it's
up
a thing she does.
She's gonna pull up 2 clips during this of like things that are gonna illustrate her point. Meanwhile, I love 2 Chainz' attitude, just like, look, this is
look,
being,
yeah, yeah,
look,
it's calm.
You're collected. Being wrong.
Well,
yeah.
And it's just, and it's, she's gone on so many of these tirades with weed. Like, she's argued with so many people that have come on her, come on her show and destroyed her.
Oh, she as looks like far a total as like
she
this.
Looks like a jackass the entire yeah. time with no facts whatsoever. No. Again, just throwing wild accusations at the wall and waiting for something to stick.
Right.
It is insane.
It is insane, but I will say I love her. I think she's fucking yeah, hilarious. Like this is the best.
And I question if this is a persona.
Yeah,
if
this is not real, man.
If this is a persona, could you imagine if she was just like your mom or my mom? She was just this wonderful lady, and she was just like, I know how to capitalize on this system, and I am just going to be this crazy woman, but they have to keep me on TV.
Yeah.
Like, because she makes a lot of money.
It's like Bill O'Reilly. You think Bill O'Reilly really is that extreme?
Exactly. What do you think?
You think he's that much of an asshole?
Is there a possibility that this is all a shtick?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a possibility that's shtick, for sure. I mean, and this one, it seems like she is seeing that pot is going to be legalized. Like, it's becoming way more accepted in the mainstream. I mean, like,
she's losing.
It's not even that she's losing. I think she just thinks, like, oh, I could be on the opposite side of this, and I could get people to come out and argue with me for a year. And
okay.
I know
exactly,
you know what
okay,
I mean? It's,
so
like,
yeah,
it's
okay,
a calculated move.
Approach,
she
sure.
knows what the fuck's going on, yeah. right? Because this is, like, money in the bank. She could do this every week.
Nancy
right.
Grace, please come on the show, by the way.
Oh God. I would love to
take
talk to
Brian
Nancy
Wilson's
Grace.
Seat. She's or probably Joey's. In New York all the time. She's probably here all the time.
Yeah. Let's continue this clip because it just gets okay. better and better.
Okay. So don't throw me in that pot and stew me. What I'm saying is legalizing pot yeah. ends up in stories like this. And you with so many people looking up to you advocate legalization of pot, and I don't get it. I mean, I've seen video of you smoking a big fat doobie. I know what you say in your songs, but when you hear stories like the mom and the dad on the front porch, the baby dies in a fire, then my next story, everybody, that's 2 Chainz' Twitter account, that's him.
They're showing 2 Chainz smoking a fucking gigantic
a
blunt.
Huge blunt.
That's giant. Awesome. Like
with
a
like
double.
8 Chainz on.
Yeah, he looks happy.
Smoking pot. And while I have you, why the 2 Chainz? Just curious.
Is this not like a Saturday Night Live clip where she's just rambling? She's like, what's with the 2 Chainz?
She couldn't control herself.
This seems like Bill Hader impersonating Nancy Grace talking to 2 Chainz
right.
on SNL.
But it's totally 100% her.
2 Chainz was obviously my second time, you know, coming around as far as a rapper. My first name was Titty Boy, but the name came from an internal thing with my mom, me being an only child, me being a spoiled brat.
Go ahead.
He's
about
telling
to get
it right
into
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Me being breastfed, so the whole family called me Titty. But then when it was time for me to really go out here and make a name for myself, I figured like 2 Chainz could significant could obviously mean this would be my second chance, and then 1 Chainz being who I am, and another Chainz basically being what I thrive to be. So
that's
it
good.
Has a little deeper
you
meaning.
You know, in one of your lyrics,
jury.
You say, "I don't fear death or dying. I only fear not trying." And yeah. some of your lyrics are so...
She puts up the lyrics to I Do It, and the line is, "That pussy pop like pyro, and you know I'm a pothead. That pussy like a pothole," which doesn't make any sense, but
doesn't even rhyme.
That is one gross vagina.
Brian, would you like to hit us with a quick freestyle real quick?
Oh, you got to throw me a beat, man. Caping the street, man. Having sex with a sheep, man. I'm like a Jew keeping it. Who? I don't know what to do. Sorry, I'm done.
Brian is Jewish, incidentally. We just want to throw that out there. And he always throws Jew into his
face. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a complex I have.
When Brian came into the office today, I said, "Hey, what's up, Brian? You're here." I was like, "Brian Wilson's here." And he's like, "Yo, I'm just here keeping it queer." And I was like, "Oh, okay. That's interesting." But not...
The thing is, I don't even think about the things I say, so
right.
I end up saying really stupid shit.
You're just unconscious when you're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's really
But
dumb.
It's what you expect when you come to know Brian Wilson.
Yeah, it's
Ladies,
true.
Ladies, titty pics.
Titty pics.
Incredible. But then other of your lyrics advocates a different kind of lifestyle. A different kind of lifestyle that I don't think you would want little children exposed to. I mean, do you have children?
I have 2 beautiful little girls, and I'm a great father. I just feel like, you know, everybody...
What, Joey?
Joey's really
just, like, gesturing
can't...
at me. You could just start talking. I'll pause it.
Okay, I can't really stand when people bring up the do you have the children thing. He's not writing music for the children.
No, he's just writing music.
He's writing music.
Well, and one thing I also wanted to bring up, which he's bringing up now, there's a it's like a short documentary about him, and about like his coming up. And as we mentioned, he didn't come up till way later.
So you're actually like, a fan of 2 Chainz.
I'm a huge fan of this guy's deal. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And there's a whole thing about how he was very poor for most of his life. Like we said, he didn't become popular till he was like 39. He's a multimillionaire now, and that's great. But he had these two daughters, and he is basically, like, when you watch the documentary, he is, like, the best dad in the world.
Right, well, like, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, like, he's, like, a nice guy, but, and I know, like, they say, well, they can make the documentary to, like, look like he's, no. Like, this dude just, like, cares about his daughters more than anything. He's in their life, he's on tour, but, like, their moms still are, like, in the picture, and, like, it's just, like, he's, like, a great dude, and it's, and I like to see him on things like this, because,
you get to see that side.
Fuck Nancy Grace.
All right, here we go.
Should basically take care of their own. You have kids, too, as well, right? So it's about governing your own household. It's about taking care of your own property. It's about having some kind of structure in anything.
I hear you.
Did you say property?
Why are you yelling at him?
You is this.
This is so hard
people
to listen to.
People listen to you. And while you may be able to get high and your children are kept away from that and they're not growing up like that is my guess, is my hope. Other people... don't have the advantages that you have. Okay, Liz, show me the video of Jessica Gamble out of Ohio. This mom, look at this 2 Chainz, this mom making her 2-year-old child smoke pot. Watch this.
Wait.
I want you to watch
this. This is a shitty person.
Yeah, wait, but that's what he says.
Look at this baby.
That's what I was telling you earlier about trying to classify her as something that we would all do once we would smoke a joint. I feel like she was irresponsible. I feel like she was a bonehead. That was an imbecile move. Anybody that loves their kid definitely knows not to put them in harm's way, and that's what she did. So I don't agree with that at all. I mean, she may have mental issues. It may be something deeper than a joint, I believe.
Well,
great
you
point.
Know what?
Nice.
There is something deeper than a joint, and that's well put.
Yeah, great point.
That's well put.
Only a psychopath would make their 2-year-old child smoke weed.
Of course.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with weed.
Can we
legalized.
Say on the podcast who smokes weed here and who doesn't?
Sure.
Okay. I do.
Joey? I have in the past.
Joey has in the past. We have some good stories about that. I smoke marijuana, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Do you? I thought you didn't.
I didn't for about 3 years, but literally, it was back in that room.
The other night?
Yeah, a couple, like a month ago. I lost my job, and I was like, fuck, I hated that job anyway. I'm going to go back to smoking some weed every now and then.
Okay, cool. I got
there you go. And look where you are. You're on the podcast. You're doing great.
And I got my vaporizer pen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Dad.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. So I think we can all agree that the one thing that bothers me about this interview is he's not really going at her like I would. And I get, like, I appreciate his calm, cool perspective, but just kind of the way he's voicing it, I would just be a little more like, okay, that's obviously a crazy person. You can't sit here and judge every person who smokes marijuana by one crazy woman who makes her 2-year-old smoke pot and then videotapes it and puts it on the internet.
Right. Well, she shows another clip and he gets into it a little more. And then at the end, he like messes with her a little bit. And it's pretty funny.
This seems like such fucking manufactured bullshit.
Well, it is, but that's what we're saying. I mean, it is, but I just think it's so funny because, all right, well, I just think it's funny.
Because what she's...
Meanwhile, under her, it says, Mommy gets tot high.
Another John Mulaney joke.
What about the tots?
Perv touch tots.
Doing is child abuse. And what I'm trying to say to you is that if this is legalized, then everybody is going to have unlimited access to pot. And unlike other people that are responsible, irresponsible child abusers are going to have free access.
I'm not sure if you know, but everybody has the ability to get their hands on pot right now, whether it's legal or not. I just feel like if you legalize this particular drug, it could cut out certain things in the criminal justice system as far as the overcrowding of prisons, as far as... putting this on our criminal record to prevent us from getting loans, prevent us from getting homes. Just the whole thing around recreational weed is not making any sense to me.
If you want to qualify for a home, then why don't you just not smoke pot?
Right now, we got to try to find ways on getting out. So I figure if we got half of the states legalizing pot, if the rest of the community legalizes pot, that frees up taxpayers' money. That allows us to do something with this extra funds as far as fixing everything from
I don't know what you're saying about freezing, to a stadium. Freeing up so I'm taxpayers' now money. Anything.
Yeah. I'm just going to be willfully ignorant about everything. I can't infer.
I'm just going to yell at you.
Yeah. What are you saying, two tines?
Did they not tell your agent money. I'm here to yell at you? Pot. Danger.
I bet you they fuck after this.
Two Chainz probably put a deep dick in Nancy
As soon
Grace.
As the clip ends, she's like, I love you, Two Chainz. She's like,
you will fuck the tits off me.
I love that black means. Dick inside of me. Feels good.
Hey, take it easy, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that's racist or something.
What?
For me, I'm a taxpayer, okay? And I have one example. For me, I'm a taxpayer. My bus get pulled over, and they say they smell weed like they do all the time, okay? They find a grind on my
Which you know why they smell weed on that bus.
Big tour bus problem, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like all, I know a couple of people in bands.
What's happened to Lil Wayne?
Every single bus that gets pulled over, which they don't too often, every single bus that gets pulled over, they say they smell weed.
Yeah, of course.
Keep
well,
going.
It's the easiest thing to
and
do.
And they want to check IDs.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. That's how they get on the bus and smell the weed.
0-1 of residue inside of it. Okay, they lock me up, they strip me, they try, and then they find out I'm a rapper and they want to know how fine is Nicki Minaj. They want to take pictures and they want to let me go. They obviously charge me with 0.01. I go to court, I go to trial. And then they say, you pack your own bags. Is this your grind?
Well, I got in.
How did they not know he was a rapper when they pulled him over on a tour bus?
Great point.
Keep going.
And I tell them no. Well, who pack your bags? They find out my security does it. They drop my case, and then they pick it up on my security, who obviously beats the case. If that's not a waste of taxpayers' time and money, I don't know what it is.
All right.
Okay, I see your point. That was pretty good.
I don't know what it is.
Listen, Two Chainz, that was cogent. And I have nothing to say.
Why are you making great arguments? You're a rapper. I'm a strong white Southern woman.
Right,
who doesn't smoke weed? You do. I'm better. Why are
probably
you
high, he's probably high right
he's
now.
He's probably high as shit. You don't think he smoked weed in spite of this whole interview?
Right.
I think he did.
I'm disagreeing with you that was a big to-do about finding what one joint. But what I'm talking to you about, okay, fine, it wasn't even a joint. The point is still the same.
Wasn't even a joint. Complete waste of my money
and time. What I'm talking to you about is something different. Now, I know you don't want to see this because it's not fitting with your argument, all right? And what you're saying is not fitting with my argument, all right? Liz,
isn't that the point of an argument?
Let's go with Crystal Weber.
I love that she just has a Rolodex of like fucked up video clips of like kids getting abused. Why don't you go after those people instead of fucking arguing with Two Chainz about whether weed's okay? Newsflash, it is okay. It's fine. Everybody's fine that smokes it. I think, Andy, I don't know how you feel about it. I think probably maybe wait till you're like 18, probably ideally, to start smoking. Like, I know people do, but I think that
I started smoking when I was 15.
I think that's
16.
A little young, frankly.
I want to.
Young?
Yeah. This is actually something I think about very often. With a past of addiction and everything, I wish I would have started way later. I wish I would have. In even starting at all, I'm not mad at the fact that I smoke pot. I do it to this day, doing it right now, to be honest.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, that picture.
Okay. Well,
anyway, but yeah, it's not something I'm proud of at all. And I think a big problem and one thing I hear going to meetings and with things about a lot of addicts is that we all start very young.
Right.
And whether it's we start smoking cigarettes when we're like 14, we start stealing alcohol. You know, you get alcohol from somebody when you're in high school and you start drinking. And then while smoking pot is normally the first thing.
Right.
That's always there. That's the first thing when you're like 13, 14. And you just, and I'm not saying pot's a gateway drug. I know a lot. An addict is going to be an addict.
It just happens to be the drug that you'll get first. It's not a gateway drug.
And I'm not trying to go down this whole thing, but I just want to bring this up real quick because I haven't got to talk about it. Is an addict is going to be an addict, and I don't believe in you know, saying one drug is a gateway drug. That's not the case. But yes, I do wish I would have started way later, and because I feel I would have, if I was more mature when I had started smoking marijuana, I feel like I would have been able to make that leap in my head of, okay, I can just do this. I'm going to drink alcohol, hopefully later, like when I'm towards 21, and be a more well-adjusted person, as opposed to being a very young person who's exposed to an alternative way of thinking and can't... And
you don't have the experience to differentiate that.
Don't have the experience to differentiate that and say that this isn't always a good thing.
Right. The two quick points I'll make about it, because I agree with you, I don't think it's a gateway drug either, but the younger you start smoking it, I think has... The only negative effect that I think that I've seen in people that have started smoking younger is that their memory can be affected by it a little bit.
Yeah, like, that's definitely true.
Because your brain is developing, so it's like it can have like a little bit of an effect.
And I don't have a good memory.
Any type of smoking.
A very good friend of mine has a shit memory.
Any type of smoking can be affected by...
Right. The other point about it is I feel like if you start... Like, weed is demonized, like, from a young age. People are in, like, DARE programs or whatever. You smoke it, you go, there's nothing wrong with it. Then you start thinking, well, what else have they said is bad that isn't bad?
Lying,
that's sort of how it can lead to other stuff. Anyways, so, yeah. Okay, so fair point. Let's finish up this 2 Chainz clip real quick.
A mom and her friends giving the 2-year-old daughter pot and letting the kid smoke pot. Okay, everybody is not responsible to Chainz. Everybody should have free access to go get pot like you get orange juice at the grocery store. Like you order it up like a pizza. Look
I
at this child.
An outlaw alcohol.
I don't even give my daughter a drink, caffeine, at 2 years old. I feel like it may be too strong for them. So, I mean, that's just something that you have to govern in your own household. Everyone knows that this is obviously wrong.
Look,
she's showing a video of a kid that smoked, and he's got like a motorcycle helmet on, and he's just like kicking his feet on a bed. It's pretty fucking
funny.
That's
just a bad parent.
Yeah, exactly.
That has nothing to do with weed.
No, that could have been anything. That could have been PCP or meth or whatever. It has nothing to do with whether
it's legal or not.
That's not
going to happen more if it's legal.
No, it's going
to,
no.
It's just a hilarious way to go about an argument.
Yes.
It's just a fucked up, crazy person who would do that to their children.
Of course.
You're looking at the camera. Look at the monitor.
To meanwhile, 2 Chainz is like smirking because he's watching the video and it's funny.
See that child?
Wait, hold on, Jay. Let's just get
now
through it.
This kid may need marijuana when he's about 16 because he may, you know, have some other things going on. But obviously, you know, 2 years old.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, let's just talk about you for a minute.
You know what
you
I'm
went
talking
to college.
About.
You went
you know
to college
what I'm talking
on
about.
A sports scholarship, did you not?
Yes, and I'm very intelligent, and smoking pot for me.
Can I get back to you in high school when you were 16 and you were on a basketball scholarship, as I recall?
Yeah.
Were you using pot then?
I was selling
you're
pot
an
then.
Athlete.
Yeah, I was selling pot then.
And would you want your children to do that?
Nah, but it was a means.
And why
for me.
Is that?
It was a way of living. It was a way of living.
Why
for
don't
me.
You want your children to do it, man?
I can't listen to this.
Selling pot and smoking pot are two different things. Of course he wouldn't want his kids to be fucking drug dealers. He's a millionaire. Like, they don't have to do that.
No.
Whatever. That's the end of the argument.
Which she completely
basically.
Ignored.
Yeah, she has no
Why
interest.
Would you have to do that? You come from one of the poorest towns in Alabama.
Right.
Why would you have to sell weed? And why wouldn't you want your millionaire children to do that?
Right. And that's how he ends it. He's just like, because I paid the price that my kids don't have to pay now.
Exactly.
That's how he ends
Hove
it.
Did that.
How fucking fun is that interview? I mean, it's annoying, but it's also fun. I love it.
I can't even give it like a real look because it's so fucking ridiculous.
Get up on that mic, Brian Wilson.
I'm getting up on that mic. You know what I'm saying? It's just so, her arguments are so dumb and her voice doesn't help.
No,
come on,
no,
that doesn't. Really doesn't help. I'm just discounting everything you're saying because you sound like an idiot.
Right. All right, guys. So look, we got through a lot of stuff there. Joe, you got any final thoughts on this debate?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why the parents are doing it. Are they doing it for a kick for themselves, or they're just trying to get the views up on the
YouTube? The parents in the video that she showed where they're getting the kids high?
Yeah.
They're just dumb. They probably...
Yeah, but why tape it? Because you're going an extra step.
Because they're dumb.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, they're like proud of what they're doing. They're stupid. But that has nothing to do with fucking weed being legalized. Weed, of course, should be legalized. It's insane. It's not dangerous at all. Do you know how much weed you'd have to smoke in an hour to kill you?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Two tons.
Two tons away. Dang down.
All right. So that's what I had to get through here. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be an awkward transition. Brian has a couple of like great stories that we wanted to get into. I don't know if
we're, I mean, do we have time?
I mean, we got some time. Yeah. Okay. Got a little bit of time here. I know that Joey had some things that he wanted to bring up. Maybe we push them to next week.
Yeah, we can push them off.
Do you have anything that's super critical to go into right now?
No, I kind of want to hear some of the stories.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, one of the things that we've come to know and love about Brian Wilson is that he's always got a great story.
Always.
And it's always something new and interesting. And you brought a couple of stories, I think, to the table today. What would you like to talk about?
Do you want to talk about the time that I went to an Asian massage parlor?
Yeah, I'd like that.
The rub and tug story is good.
I also want to get into this REM sleep disorder you have.
All right, let me just start off with the Asian thing.
Okay.
It was my 22nd birthday.
Okay, can we give a little background on you, Brian? Let's talk about sexual experience background.
I have very limited, I mean, yeah, I lost my virginity when I was like 17.
And you're not mad about talking about this?
Nah, I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Because like that's the thing about Brian is that we've come to know is he's very forthcoming with everything.
That's my problem. I'm way too honest. I'm like this with women, and they don't like that.
Maybe. But I think once you find the right girl, she's going to be really into it because I think she's going to be able to find how awesome it is, how forthcoming you are. But yeah, that's the thing about Brian. He has all these great stories. They're kind of unbelievable, but he's so like forthcoming and honest about it. It's amazing. And so...
So, yeah, I mean, I don't have that much. I mean, in the sex I've had, people be like, have you ever had good sex? I'm like, no, definitely not. It never had good sex. I don't know what that even feels like. I'm just going to keep it real. Anyway, so my experience was very limited.
Right.
So I went to this Asian massage parlor because my friend.
Where?
It was in New York City. Okay. Yeah. Classy place. My friend had recommended it. I originally wanted to go shooting that day because it was my birthday, but it's very hard to do that in New Jersey. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just get jerked off. It sounds better.
Right.
So I go there.
Somebody's touching the trigger today.
Oh, got him. So anyway, I go there. It's a very kind of classy place. I'm in the shower room. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm like, I'm there with there's another guy in there, and I'm just like very nervous, and I'm asking him, I'm like, excuse me, sir, like what do I do here? And he's like, oh, it's your first time? He was like this business guy. He was like, yeah, it's the first time. I was like, yeah, yeah. He was like, okay. He was like, you just go in there and go take a shower, and then go to the shower lady, and then they'll take care of you. And I was like, okay. So I go into the shower room with my boxers on because I don't even realize that you're supposed to be naked.
In a shower.
Yeah. And I was like, because I'd never showered with like other men before.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, okay, this is obviously wrong.
So wait, so you have to shower with other dudes in the room?
There didn't happen to be any guys while I was in there.
But there could be.
There could be.
It's like communal stalls.
It's like a communal shower.
So you're all just there like, all right. Guys, we're all getting jerked off. Like nobody,
it's like a spa.
Nobody look at each other. Like we're all just going to do this.
So let me ask you this. That's a great point. Are people, everybody in there, they are all trying to get a little bit of hand release at the end, or they're there
absolutely
for just their, okay? So everyone knows the deal.
They know the deal.
All right.
So I go in there. I take a shower. Very uncomfortable. I go into the sauna. There's another guy in there. I'm just like, hey, how's it going? Like I try to make small talk. Very. I don't even like saunas. I'm uncomfortable and hot.
Right.
I'm just Jewish. Can't take it. I come out, I'm trying to figure out where to go next. I don't even know where to go. I see a little opening, and I go through that, and there's like a table where there's like this hot Latina woman, and she's like, all right, get on that table. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, take your clothes off, or take your towel off, or whatever. So I take it off, she puts me on the table, and she like starts scrubbing me down, like with soap and water. And it feels fantastic. And she's hot, and I'm just like,
I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this, but goddamn. No, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, you know what? At least I'm not the worst looking piece of shit that they have to deal with every day.
True.
You know,
like, that has to be a good thought.
I'm like, I'm not horrible. You know, like, I'm okay.
You're a very handsome guy.
Yeah, you're a good looking dude. Thank you. Great personality. That. Wonderful, wonderful person.
So anyway, she kind of scrubs like the inside of your butt, too. It was like weird.
Oh, she got in there for you?
She really got in there. She got in there deep. And I was like, I like this girl. Anyway, she puts a bathrobe on you and then she walks you out into the hallway where there's like four Asian women that are like in like white shirts and white jeans. And one comes up to me. She's like, oh, hello. How are you doing? Good
to talk. She attractive?
She was pretty cute. She was I'm not generally into Asian girls. I'm gonna
I'm actually not either.
Yeah, I'm generally not. I mean,
I like Indian girls, to be honest with you. I like those very much.
That's
I watched the movie The Internship recently, which I don't even know why. It's okay. It's like it's a cute film, but the Indian chick that's like part of their group, very hot.
Yeah, if I could,
Indian like, girls can be hot
and do that growling boy thing. I would do it.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
that's funny. You had to explain
Chris hit it.
So anyway, I go to the hallway. She like takes my hand and she's like, "Oh, you're my first customer of the day. You're my first customer." And
always I'm just getting in first.
And I'm just like,
"That's good, right? That's got to make you feel decent, right?"
I'm like, "Oh, okay." I mean, it was like 12 p.m.
She's been working there for 8 years. Yeah.
So she takes me upstairs. It's a very nice, classy place. We go into one of these rooms. I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, okay, you can lay down. And I put my, it's like a massage table with the face, you know, kind of cut out thing. Sure. But I'm so nervous that I just like kind of plop down, face down, but my face isn't in the hole and there's like a sheet over it. So I'm like having a hard time breathing, but I'm so nervous. I just don't want to move. I just don't want to be like ungrateful or whatever. So I'm just like, she's like, you can move your head a little higher. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. Thank you. So anyway, she starts to like give me a massage and, I'm naked. And it feels good, you know. Is she getting deep in there? No, she's not. I could use some deep pressure, but she's like a little Asian girl.
But that's not what you're here for.
It's not what I was there for. Anyway, the whole time I'm just thinking like, you know, when's it gonna happen? I don't know. I'm just so in my head, yeah, so neurotic.
But that's something that you've expressed. That's an issue all the time.
I'm always in my head, and then like so it goes for like I'd say 40 minutes or so, and then she's like. You want to turn over? And I was just like, yes, I do. And she like lowers the lights a little bit. And then she like grabs like a bottle of lotion. Oh, that is disgusting. Because that's exactly what it sounded
so
like.
Gross.
Just like the sound effect king today.
That was really good. Oh, shit.
Which all go concurrently. That's great. Yes.
So anyway, she starts to jerk me off. And I am like, it feels.
Are you struggling? Here's my question. Are you struggling to get hard? You're excited about this?
No, I am not struggling to get it hard.
Here's my question.
You're 6 to midnight. You're ready to go. Yeah.
My mom listens to this show.
My mom does too.
Are you serious?
Look, they're supportive. What do you want?
Yeah. Oh,
no, it's fine. Listen, right.
Well, I'm not meeting your parents then. Fuck it.
All right.
Anyway,
I thought we what's could your mom's be best name? Friends, but
I'm not gonna say it. Anyway, so. Now I feel weird.
No, don't feel weird.
All right, well, no,
whatever. I'm
kidding.
Already
I'll
in the thick
of it.
I'll
tell her not to listen to this episode.
So anyway, I'm in the thick of it, and she's jerking me off, and it's feeling amazing. This girl knows what she's doing.
A professional.
Yeah. She's a professional, and I'd never. You've been with girls that jerked you off before. It's like it's a joke. It's like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh no, it's never a good thing. It always is kind of that like.
It's like I could do this
side
better.
Joke thing of them just being like, if you're like, no, that's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, like, it's feeling great, and I my arm starts to like automatically like go up and like I start touching her like, and I'm like, oh no, this is I don't think you're supposed to do this, but I couldn't stop. It was like an automatic.
Is
response.
She naked?
No. She was clothed.
She's fully clothed.
She was fully clothed.
What is she wearing? She's wearing like
a white t-shirt, white pants.
Okay.
Yeah, white jeans. And
white jeans? Is Miami Vice? All right, go ahead.
Anyway, so
what about all the cum that goes everywhere?
Oh, that's probably why they wear white.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, what are they going to wear, black?
No, but a cum stain is going to show up on anything.
Oh, you know what?
At least on white. If she's wearing a black outfit and somebody
coming around always totally white, bro.
Dude, I forgot a key element. Before she jerked me off, she put a piece of paper towel on my stomach.
Oh, for the shot.
Yeah.
for the shot.
She was prepared.
Yeah. Smart.
So I started touching her. I'm like,
it is a classy place.
I never use paper towel because you can't flush it.
Ah, no.
What are you gonna do? Throw it out? You gotta use tissues.
Yeah, you just gotta eat it.
Or just go for it. Yeah, fucking scoop it up and eat it.
Anyway, what you do, I mean, I started to touch her. And
I'm joking, Andrew. I'm joking.
The only thing I could think was like, oh my God, there's gonna be a dude who like comes out of here like with a katana and like chops my dick off. And I know that's racially insensitive, but
no,
whatever.
No, it's not. It's fine. It's a
but a very real fear at that moment.
And I was just like, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I couldn't stop. And then I ejaculated, and it was like a white light just enveloped me, and I just felt like Jesus Christ himself as a Jew. And I felt great. I was like, oh my God. She pointed at my dick. She's like, he betty happy now.
Is that really what she said?
Oh,
really?
My God.
Phenomenal.
She was also saying kind of.
I think maybe we call the episode, he very happy now.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, she also was saying some very stereotypical shit like, oh, you like that fucky? You like that, literally.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. And I was like, oh no, like this is too stereotypical, but I'm loving it because you're jerking me off.
That's amazing. So that's not even a stereotype then. That's proven scientifically. That's real.
Anyway, so
why would she say fucky?
She said fucky. She really did say fucky. Anyway, so I'm feeling amazing. I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And she like says to me, she's like, you good customer. You don't talk dirty to me like a other customer. You not a drunk. You not a mean to me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But then she was like, but remember, when you go downstairs, you pay. I don't get none of that money, so you have to pay me different.
And here is where things take a turn.
Feeling fantastic. So I go downstairs.
But did you not realize that you would potentially have to tip this person?
I did realize you had to tip, but I didn't. Earlier in the day, I was researching massages, just regular massages, and they were like 20% gratuity is expected.
Different story.
Yeah, and that's I fucked up. So anyway, I go downstairs, take a shower, feeling great. For 10 minutes, feeling amazing. Then I go to the front desk. I pay with the lady. I pay with my credit card so I can get rewards points. It was a $5 extra fee. Uh-huh. But you know what? I still
5% cash back on hand jobs. That's it.
That's how Jewish I am. I wanted the rewards points. Anyway, the girl, I think her name was like Alicia or whatever name they gave her at the sex slave shop. she comes up with like a little baggie that says like it like a little pouch that says Alicia on it. Uh-huh. And she like comes up, she's like looking at me with like these pleading eyes, and I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so but I don't know how much to tip.
Well, we you've told us the story before.
We've debated over this,
but I said immediately
$50.
Yeah, well,
you got to be $50 to $100.
Well, okay, tell the story, and then I'll give you my point.
I guess because I'm so cheap, and I was nervous, and I was kind of caught a little bit off guard, just the way it was happening. And I heard about the 20% gratuity. I just gave her $20, which is really low. Now,
well, how much was the
$100.
Okay, so it's $100. Oh, right. So okay, you're saying 20%, right? Okay.
So yeah,
it's got to be at least 50 to me.
That's horrible. First of all,
it's horrible.
You gave her more, right?
No.
I thought you gave her 40.
No. Here's the thing: is I got nervous. She looked at me with these eyes, like she took the money in her hand, and she kind of went like she
was looking for a 20 and a 10,
just to see if there was more than one bill. And she realized it was one bill, and she was just like staring at me in my eyes, and I was just like, oh my God, I just was so
why wouldn't you just hand her more money?
I don't know what I just got so nervous. I just left.
See, that's okay, but how long were you there staring at her for before you turned and left?
Not that long.
Like you made eye contact with her, she realized that it was only $20, and then you were like,
I was so uncomfortable. I should have given her more money, and I immediately felt so bad.
Did you have more money on you?
That's the sad part, is I definitely did.
So why didn't why didn't you just take like another $220 out of your wallet and give it to her?
Maybe because I'm cheap. I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I don't think that's inherently cheap.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
No, I don't know. I really just got nervous, I think. Cause I'll tip like.
But if you, I don't know, just me personally, if I was nervous, I would overpay somebody.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know?
Or look, she knows, she's in the game. She knows what's going on. You go, listen, I don't know what the appropriate thing is.
She tells you, she'll give you an idea. Under by 10. Right. There you go. Because she's going to tell you over by 20, probably.
You know, it's a
beautiful advice.
Saddest part was like, I was feeling great for 10 minutes, and then I underpaid her, and then I was just like, the rest of the day, I immediately like texted my brother. I was just like, I feel so dirty. He was like, why? Because you got an erotic, you know, a hand job? And I was like, no, because I didn't tip her enough, man. I'm just an asshole. I'm just like a stereotypical Jew. Fuck. He's like, don't worry about it.
Why don't you go back to Alicia or whatever?
Yeah, I could never face her again. And you know what's the best part, though?
That's a good thing about rub and tugs.
Yeah.
She's probably dead by now.
Oh! What happened to her? No! Oh, my God.
So, I am so sorry.
That's
the best part was after that, I got in my car, and I drove to my grandma's house for birthday dinner, and I had dinner with my grandma.
What a great day. She probably slipped you a five.
I told her that I got a massage.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I got a massage today. It was great. It was fantastic. Just leave the part out where she jerks you off, you know?
Right, yeah, of course. Well, yeah, you just leave that part out. Now, let me ask you this question, because we had Jared Fried on this podcast where we had him give advice to Joey about his dating life, things like this.
Yeah, you two need to team up, by the way.
Do you two want to, become like buddies and go on misadventures? Should Joey go get an erotic massage, do you think? You'd recommend it.
Are you talking about a prostitute or just what I just got?
Well, listen, I mean, if prostitute, schmostitute, he can do what he wants.
We're going to start slow.
Well, Joey, would you be interested in getting a rub and tug?
I think that would be something I could look into, yeah.
Okay.
It's honestly, if you tip enough money, like, and you don't feel guilty like me, it's a very good experience.
Just make sure you tip, Joey. That's
I don't think Joey would give one frankly, if he didn't tip. He'd just be like, thanks for the handjob, honey, bye.
I mean, I realize that these girls could definitely be sex trafficked. I hope to God
they are.
Not.
No, they are. Don't like sit here and be like, I hope they're not. They are. They're not.
I don't
not
think
working.
All of them are. I think that's racist.
No.
I think it's stereotypical.
You think they're
dude,
all of
you know how many like hard copy 2020 episodes I watch about sex slaving in America? It's a horrible problem.
Okay, then I'm a piece of shit. I
especially in New York City. Especially
really?
In
I don't think Alicia was sex trafficked. I think she was there of her own volition.
You're right. She probably has kids and a husband. It's probably awesome.
Phenomenal.
I don't condone it. I'm just saying it's something I've done. You know what I'm saying? Listen. I would say, Joey, I would go for it. It's an experience. You'll feel cleansed afterwards as long as you tip enough money.
I could never do it.
I could do it. I have a girlfriend. I'm not going to do it. I've actually had this conversation.
You could do it?
No. I've actually had this conversation with her where I'm like, to me, it just seems like, yeah, that's the logical conclusion to a massage. And I was like, I don't look at it as cheating. I was like,
that's not cheating.
I was like, you
that's
could
not
go.
Cheating.
I was like, you could go do one. She's like, first of all, fucking
so
disgusting. Wait.
No.
God.
So you would be okay with if she went and got a massage and some dude fingered her at the end of it?
No, yeah, just got her off. Sure. It's the massage. Yeah. Yes. And I've said that I mean it. And she was like, ew, that's disgusting. And I was
like,
yeah, of
course. Very progressive of you.
It's extremely progressive.
It is extremely progressive, but I don't
into that idea.
Believe for a second that if you had to see that.
Why would I have to see it? She's not going to have to see my finish either. Okay. It's a total.
It just wouldn't. Okay. So.
Would I rather be a Swedish, hot Swedish girl? Yes, I would. But if it was a guy, well, it is what it is.
You're saying a guy jerking you off?
No, not me. I'm saying, can I have Hans, please? I'm requesting Hans. Anyway, so that's a fucking great story. I think this is informative for people.
This show got fucking filthy.
It's fine. At the end of
it. No, I know. I mean, it's fine.
Look at you brought on the show.
I thought you were going to be more worried about it, but...
No, not at all. Okay, I knew. Look, I knew what was coming with this guy. This is great.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's a nice way to wrap up the show. We got into hard-hitting stuff at the beginning. Got into the pot debate. Nancy Grace, shit's funny.
Yeah.
And we had a little fun conversation about handjobs and whatnot. Man. It was great.
I'd just like to promote my band, U-Bred Raptors. It's you can find us at ubredraptors.com, U-Bred Raptors on Twitter. It's cool music. If you want to hear more, I mean, I don't ever talk in the band, so you never have to hear my voice again. But it's actually cool. I play the cello.
Very cool. Yeah, it is. It's great music. We played Tembler on one of the most recent episodes.
Yeah, we did. It's a cello, 8-string bass, and a drummer, and it is fucking amazing. Like, it's a very unique sound, and I think a lot of people gave us good responses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Already,
but if you haven't checked it out, go check it out.
If you haven't, go get it.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, buddy.
You'll have to come back. You have a million more stories that we haven't even
scratched the surface. It's so sad and Jewish every day.
A new one we got at the holiday party two nights ago that he's going to have to come on and tell.
Yeah, you'll have to come back.
It's just as good, even better, possibly.
Yep.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Soon, February 1st, video streaming will begin at Stand Up New York Labs. We'll be on Daily Motion. So when we're recording this, you guys can actually watch a live stream. You could Snapchat us or do whatever. Tweet us, email us, so we'd actually be able to like talk and possibly even have a phone set up, which we might be doing. So your eyes peeled for that. We're going to end this thing with a 2 Chainz song that Andy's going to pick in a little bit. I don't know what song it's going to be, but we'll do it. Listen.
Ah, we kind of got obligated to that. No, yeah, we'll do
Let's just do that's
No, I have a song I like by it. It was like actually like his first or second hit song. I forget the exact name of it, but you guys will listen to it. It's fucking good. Oh, we never did the rap battle parody.
I really don't think we have time. Forgot. I know. That's 100% we will do that on the next episode.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Unless
No, it's fine. I just hope it does. Never mind. No, it's fine.
Okay. Oh, what? You think it's going to, like, go out of
style? Just be like, yeah, like, not. That's not funny anymore. We've all seen that. It doesn't matter. If we don't get to it, we don't get to
it. Okay, no, I'd like to get to it next week. Yeah, I just completely forgot. This episode went way long.
It was a lot of fun.
This was great. Guys, on Snapchat, I'm Man Samp. This guy over here is Brian, B-R-Y-A-N-W, Cello, C-E-L-L-O. Get in touch with them. Tell them you liked his story. You know, whatever.
I'm single. Keep it real.
You can find us on Twitter. I'm at ManSamp. This guy's at Joey from Jersey. Jersey with a Z. He's at @_A_Lozy. Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah. Well, follow us at UbredRaptors, but also same thing, Brian W. Cello on Twitter if you want to find me.
There you go. You can find this episode of the podcast and all other episodes of the podcast. Please subscribe on SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/mandatorySampson. You can email us at mandatorySampson@gmail.com. Go on iTunes. Maybe write us a review. That'd be cool. I don't care one way or the other, but just another way to listen to this podcast. We're going to end with a 2 Chainz song. Thank you all for being here. I thought this was a great episode, and we look forward to doing many, many more. We will talk to you all next week.
Yeah. True. I am smoking on that gas. Life should be on Cinemax. Movie. Bought my boo. Bigger tits and a bigger ass. Who he's not I. I smoke strong, not pie pie. Louis V's in my archives. Black diamonds are part-time. Bread up my top down. On the block with a block out. Hit your ass with that block out. Dope enough to go in your nostril. I take your girl and kidnap her. Feed her to my mattress. But skeleton in my closet. It's probably when he dead at rappers. He's probably when he puts a ad niggas. Don't try me, I pull that trigger. Got your car note in my car. And your rent in my swisher. That was so good, I miss you. Head game so vicious. And all I get is cheese. Like I'm taking pictures.
I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say true, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million before they die. What up? 2 Chainz and champagne, you want? True, that's true enough. Forbes list like a year. My office is my tour bus. She came through, she brought food, she got fucked, she knew what's up. She think I'm the realest out, and I say, damn, that makes 2 of us. All that look like, what's her name? Chances are it is, what's her name? Chances are if she was acting up, then I fucked her once and never fucked again. She could have a Grammy, I still treat her ass like a nominee. Just need to know what that pussy like, so one time it's fine with me. Young ass, an intern, money like. I built the shit. Streets talking that confirmed. Go ask them who just kept the shit. Stay keeping my cup full, so I'm extra charged like a state tax. Me and Chainz go way back. We don't talk shit, we just say facts. Yes, Lord. I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah.
No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real nigga say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, real nigga say word. You ain't never told no lie, you ain't never told no lie. Real nigga say true, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, that's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Name a nigga that wants some, I'll rap his ass, I'll trap his ass. Put his ass in a plastic bag with his trash ass. Take him out, bring him in, them whole things. Tupac without a nose ring. Thug life, one wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. I did what they say I wouldn't. Went where they say I couldn't. YSL belt buckle. Y'all niggas show it looking. Y'all niggas show it lacking. Two chains on my rugby. Left hand on that steering wheel. Right hand on that pussy.
Yeah. I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say true, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million before they die. What up?